different Bible passages really that deal with this idea of that we're in a war, we're in a battle zone against Satan. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about if we weren't in a war, Paul would not tell us to put on the armor of God. And then Paul would not write and talk about us being in a fight in 1 Timothy 6 verses 11 through verse number 12. And then verse 18, he uses that word fight. So we're in a fight, and there are three Bible truths and verses that bear this out. So let's look here in John 16 and verse number 33. John 16 and verse number 33. And who would read that for the pastor this evening? John 16 and verse 33. Jerry? All right, thank you. All right. Father, we thank you for this time to look at this thought. What are the two main objectives of Satan? Father, I pray that you would be a help and a blessing to your people that have gathered here this evening. Oh, Father, we pray that if there be someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they might be saved today. Strengthen the believers, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. It's pretty apparent here from this passage of Scripture in John 16 and verse number 33 that Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Listen, this is where our peace is going to come from. And then he declares where our peace will not come from. He said, in the world, he said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the Lord says, listen, when you're out in the world, there's going to be tribulation. But the good news is, I've already overcome the world, so I got you covered, don't worry about it. You know, the believer will never find peace in the world. You know, we can search for peace, we can try to have peace, but Jesus said, you're not going to find peace in the world. He said, peace will only come from me. What comes from the world is intense pressure. That's what that word tribulation means. It means intense pressure. So the world, we could say, is going to be a pressure cooker for all believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But we will always find our peace and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's turn back. I give you the proof text for that, John 14 and verse 27. John 14 and verse number 27. So we're going to be under intense pressure. We're going to have tribulation here in the world because our enemy, Satan, is consistently attacking us, trying to get us to hinder ourselves and being effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we even allow him to take us to the point of when he attacks us, that we allow ourselves to be defeated. But Jesus said, listen, I've overcome the world. And our peace comes from him and not from the world. Who would read John 14 and 27 tonight? John 14. All right, Carol. Glory, hallelujah. The Lord said at the end of that verse, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, why should we be afraid? Why should our heart be troubled? It shouldn't be, because Jesus said, I left peace. You know what? And when I thought about that, I said, well, you know, I leave half a hamburger sometime, not very often. I might leave something here, I might leave something there. I may or may not go back and get it, but you know what? The Lord, he says in that verse, he says, peace I leave with you. And then notice he clarifies what he says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. So not only does he leave it, but the Bible said he gives it to you. It's available to us. His peace is there right now for you. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe it's a financial trial. Maybe it could be a physical trial like Jerry's going through with his broken wrist and all that comes with not working. Maybe it's an emotional trial. Maybe something's going on in your home and God's using that emotional trial really to bring you to himself. Listen, Jesus said here in this verse, he said, I'm leaving you the peace. And not only that, I'm giving you the peace. It's not the peace that the world gives. And he concludes and said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so if we walk around not having peace in our heart, guess whose fault it is not? It's not the Lord's. because he left it and he gives it and he tells us, do not be afraid. But yet here we are. We'll turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let's look at verse 33. I want to read that again to you, our text verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Again, Jesus is clarifying where this peace is coming from. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he gives the peace. He left the peace. He goes on to say in this verse that we can have the peace. And he said, I've overcome the world. What have we got to worry about? Why don't we have peace in our heart about what God is doing in our life? Jesus tells us the peace is there. I give it to you. I've overcome the world. Just trust in me. But yet we go about going about our own merry way and not trusting in him to do that. Well, there's another text passage. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. The second of the three text proofs, and there's way more than what we're just going to take time to look at. Did I say 2 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And I wrote down the wrong verse, didn't I? Pardon me? Yeah, them deacon wives need that. Okay. Them deacon wives need that verse, don't they? Maybe it is 2 Timothy. Let me look. Yep, 2 Timothy. Thank you. All right, who would read 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12? Everyone forgot how to read? All right, Henry, thank you. Uh-oh, here we go. First of all, it says that we're gonna have tribulation. We don't expect tribulation. But Jesus says, don't worry about it because I give you peace. I'm leaving peace. I'm going to give you peace. And I've overcome the world. Don't worry about it. But then he goes on to say, it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you were to take the time to look this up in your Strong's Concordance and understand the Greek tenses of the word, it comes that word comes from the indicative mood of the Greek language, and it indicates that it is a fact that all those who even desire or all those who will live godly will suffer hardships and persecutions. So, my friend, get this. You just write it down, take it to the bank. If you're living for Jesus Christ and you have a desire to live for Jesus Christ, persecution is going to come your way. And why is that? Because our enemy, Satan, is at war with God. And he's not going to attack God, but he can attack God's children. And so we find that we will suffer persecution. And here's something maybe it's opposite of the way we normally would think. The more that a believer moves toward godliness, guess what? The more persecution is going to come your way. The more difficult your life is going to be. And so you say, well, I'm saved and nothing's going on with me. Satan hasn't been around my house. Well, perhaps it's because you haven't been living very godly. There's no reason for him to come around to your house. And you know, you say, well, I don't want him to come around to my house, so I'm just going to live the way I am. No, wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. We ought to live a life pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when persecution does come, and it will come, we find that God will be there to be a help to us. And God will never allow us to go through anything that we cannot bear. Sometimes we get to the point where the point that we can't bear it anymore. That's a good thing, because then we look up to him and say, okay, God, now I'm looking up to you. Can you take care of my need? And so we find that persecution will come because of Satan. Turn into 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. The third of the text proofs. So we see that we're going to have tribulations. We're going to be persecuted. And my friends, we think maybe we're persecuted today because of the stand we take against some of the wicked worldly stands that the world has and their unpolitical correctness, so to speak. My friend, it's only going to get worse as the day draws near to the Lord coming back for us. So he would read 1 John 3 and verse number 13. All right, Surratt. That's right. Listen, so we find in the Gospels, we find that Jesus is warning his disciples really that they're going to be despised. And here we find John, and he's writing, and he says, "Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you." So in other words, that word "marvel not" means don't be surprised. So we find that tribulation is going to come. We find, secondly, that persecution is going to come. And then we find that the world is going to hate us. You know, the world hates us. And really, the Lord said, really, it's not us that they hate. Really, they hated him first. They hate him, and we're to be like him. And so they hate us as well. You know, believers will discover that we're at odds with the world. You know, if you can roll through this world and never bump against anybody, have any kind of problems with the stands that we take, you know what, there's something wrong with that, because the light rebukes the darkness, and we find that that if you're not being the kind of person that Christ would have you to be, then you can just roll through this world and have all kinds of friends, even friends that are not pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that means is you're not being a good example for Christ, because John writes that, "Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you." The world is going to hate you. Now, they might put up with you, but they're going to hate you. So we find there's going to be an intense, hateful animosity against those who love God and against those who love his word. Our views of life and our views of the Bible, our testimony, our personal lifestyles, and our presence is going to be a prime target for the assault of Satan. So you can just mark it down. Understand, persecution is going to come. The world is going to hate us. And then we saw as well that tribulation will come into the world. And so here's the thing. You say, "Well, man, that's a big bucket for me to carry around. That's a big load coming my way." Well, the truth of the matter is we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's already overcome the world. He's already fought the fight. It's already been done. He's paid the price. Victory is ours. We're marching toward victory. We don't have to march to victory. It's already been fought. We're marching to the end that he has for you and I. And the satanic world is out to slow us down as believers. They don't want us witnessing. They don't want us testifying. They don't want you handing out these little cards that talk about the church on the front. Are you thinking about church? You know, I had someone come to me on Sunday and said, "Hey, there's this guy at work, and I don't think he's saved, but you know what? We were driving by here on the way to a job, and I mentioned to him, this is where me and my family go to church out on Sunday mornings." And the guy said, "Oh, really? I've been thinking about going to church." Something as simple as that. You know what? Here's the lesson you and I can take from this, is Satan wants to impose you from doing that. That person just could have kept their mouth shut, but you know, but they didn't. And because of that, they got a couple cards, and we're going to give one to this guy. And so we find that Satan wants to oppose. He wants to stop. He wants to stop you as a believer. He wants to stop us as a independent fundamental Baptist church from walking in the way of God. He wants to do the complete opposite of that. He doesn't want Pastor James to stand up here and teach Sunday mornings. He doesn't want all the Sunday school teachers in the rest of the building to teach. He doesn't want Miss Knoll and the other people that teach for the junior churches. He doesn't want that to go on. He wants us to sit down and be quiet. But I tell you what, that we're going to stand and preach and teach the Word of God. And we need to realize that we're living in a world that's dominated by Satan. And so when persecution comes your way, when tribulations come your way, you know, we can look at this and we can say, "The world hates me." You know what? That's a badge of honor, amen. That's the way I like to look at it. It's a badge of honor that you're living your life in such a way that it offends a lost world. Boy, that brings God honor and glory. God says, don't worry about it. I'll give you the peace. I live it here. I'll give it to you. I've overcome the world. He said, so just trust in me to do that. Well, that's question number four. What is the two main objectives of Satan? To exalt himself and oppose God. And it brings us to question number five that I asked you a couple weeks ago to begin thinking about. Look up some scripture verses for it. So we're going to talk about it for a few moments here tonight. I don't know if we'll get into my answer, but we'll get some of your answers. So question number five is this. When we think about the doctrine of Satan or the doctrine of Satanology, here's the big question I wanted you to look up and find for yourself. When was Satan created? All right, when was Satan created? All right, so now you had about 4 weeks or so to think about this because of things that were interspersed. So let me hear it. When was Satan created? Who would be the first? Now remember, if you say that he was, he was created on January the 21st, 1959, when my husband was born, we're not going to laugh at you. I'm simply just saying we're not going to laugh at you. We just want to get your thoughts. And even if your answer may or may not be the most correct answer, we're not going to put you down for that. I just want you to think about it. And you know what? And the only person that does something wrong is someone that tries at it, all right? So we're not going to put anybody down. Just what are your thoughts of this? When was Satan created? Then if you tell me, you have to back it up with something, all right? So who would be the first? Miss Mary? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you said he was created in Genesis chapter 3 when he was there tempting Eve. Okay, that's a great answer, yes. Somebody else, what are your thoughts? All right, Miss Nola?
I would say that
Genesis
1:1 and Genesis 1:31.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
By the sixth day. So you say somewhere between what? I'm just looking here. Genesis 1 and 31, right? I just want to look. 1:1. Right. Mm-hmm. 31. When he was, all right. Okay, all right, that's a great answer. Okay, something in the early part of the seven-day creation cycle. That's a great answer. Good, this is what I want. Somebody else. All right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 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 So, okay, so you're saying when he said, let's make man in our own image, you know that's doctrinally referring to the Trinity, but you're saying he could be speaking out to the angelic beings. And you're saying, so you're, if you're taking a test and you're writing an answer down, what would your answer, the one bullet answer, what would it be? Before the beginning, all right? Before that. Okay, that's a great answer. All right, somebody else? Anybody else have any thoughts? Miss Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's your answer?
I'm saying like first or second day.
First or second day. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Melissa. What's your answer? That's a great... That's a great answer. Yeah, and we're gonna cover that part of it. That's a yes. Anybody else have any thoughts? That's good. All right. All right. So let me give you the tall and skinny of it. The exact time of Satan's creation is unknown. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. But having said that, you have to think about this. Who or what is Satan? A what? An angel. And he was an archangel. He was a special angel. He probably was the highest of all the angels underneath God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then probably the archangel Satan was there. So the Bible implies that all the angels were created all or about the same time frame. So it's not like angels are being created today because they already were created. I don't know if they all created in one moment of God speaking or if he created some and then some, but generally the Bible seems to indicate that they're all created about the same time. All right, we weren't there, so we don't really know. And the Greek tense, now let's turn to Colossians 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Let's read that verse, Colossians 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, for by him, Colossians 1 and verse 16. Oh, wait a minute till we all get there. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by him and for him. So when we look at this verse, first of all, when we say, for by him are all things created, that's making reference to Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand, first of all, in this verse, chapter 1 and verse number 16, all things were created by him, by Christ, and for him. And the Greek tense of that word, created, seems to indicate an act or a accumulation of a series of acts that were completed in the past. Well, notice what is listed here, and he created. It says, an earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, and all things created by him and for him. Those are making reference to the angelic hosts that the Lord created. So think about this. Angels didn't evolve. They were just spoken by God and they were created. Nor, as some denominations teach, they were formerly men that have died and they went to heaven and they turned into angels. No, that is not the case at all. Each angel is a direct creation from God. And by the way, angelic beings are male, not female. You might see some pictures back from the old days, old days, 1600, 1400. It might be a little feminine looking. I don't know what was going on there, but God says that there are male angels, all right? And in Matthew 22, in verses 28 through 30, it seems to indicate that they do not procreate, that they don't get together and have angel children, all right? And so today we would say that they would be asexual, so they don't procreate. So And this is why sometimes turning your Bible to Job chapter 1, Job is right before Psalms, Job chapter 1, I'm just setting us up for where we need to be. Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. This is sometimes why angels are called the sons of God. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 6, and who would read that for the pastor? Job 1 and 6. Who hasn't read yet? It's almost time to close. Take us home. All right, Debbie. All right, so flip over very quickly to chapter 2 and verse number 1. Who would read that? All right, Ed?
Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord. Satan came also to present himself.
All right, so I'm just honing out this word, the sons of God, that it is often used in reference to angels. And the word son seems to be a direct, a creative act of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Just like Adam is the son of God. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 3. We're just laying this groundwork for us. Luke chapter number 3. And I need someone to read verse number 38. Luke 3:38. Sister, will you read for us? Yeah, you had your hand up before. Oh, here we go. Adam was the direct creation of God. It's called the Son of God. The angelic host are a direct creative act of God called the Son of God. Turn in your New Testament to Galatians, then we'll be done. Not done with this study, just done with this time here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians 3 and 26. All right, who would like to read that for the pastor? All right, Miss Gail? All right, so we see the Son refers to a direct creative act from God. The angelic hosts are created by God. Adam was the Son of God. But as believers, we're not created by God, but guess what? We're recreated in Christ individually as sons of God, according to Galatians 3 and verse 26. Another text proof is chapter 4 and verse number 24. So the Bible implies that the angels were all created at or near the same time frame. And I think we'll stop from here, and next week we'll pick up the exact time of creation of the angels, including Satan, is not certain. But let me help you. I want you to go home and rethink what you have said. Some of you are so close, all right? So close. And some are a little farther off than others. Let me tell you, the Job passage is right on, but the timing of that Job passage, where you place it, I don't think is where it needs to be. So you go look at that, all right? And we'll see. Just take God's word literally, what they say, okay? All right? In the Job passage, so we'll go from there. Job 38 verses 1 through 7. Job 38, verses 1 through 7. Read it through. Let God meditate. Don't overthink it. Let it speak to your heart, and we'll get the right answer of when Satan was created at the same time the rest of the angelic host was created. All right? Miss Debbie, you're just a heartbeat away, all right, from it. Miss Noel, you're a heartbeat away. Someone over here was a heartbeat away. Just the placement of the creative act. All right? Pardon me? Yeah, the exact date would be fine. If you knew that date, you probably knew the rapture date, and that you could sell that date. All right, we're only kidding, of course, for those in TV land, computer land. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer this evening. So get on that Job this week and see if you can come up with a better answer. All right, if you want to Google it, go ahead and Google it. All right, maybe that will help you get where you need to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you, Father, that as we study, Father, Satanology, Father, we understand the unseen power of darkness, Father. Oh, Father, I pray. The more we know about him and how he acts, Father, the more that we can better be able to stand and fight against the wiles of the devil. But, Father, help us to understand that we are going to be attacked, Father, and persecution is going to come, Father. We're going to understand the world is going to hate us and tribulation will come. But, Father, you've already overcome the world, so Father, through your Son Jesus Christ, so Father, I pray you help us to have peace. Father, you leave it, you give it, Father, and it's there for us. Help us, Father, to have the peace that of God in our hearts. So Lord, I pray if there be someone here this evening who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that before they leave this building, Father, they would come, let us take the Bible and show them how that they might have the peace of God in their heart. So Father, we love you, we thank you. Watch over us this week, Father, and accomplish the things that you have for us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. But don't forget your members.